Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. Our trivia question for this week is, in what year was the Inquisition abolished in Peru? Luis Esteban González Manrique is a journalist, author, and editor of the weekly foreign policy journal Informe Semanal de Política Exterior. When he was growing up in his hometown of Arequipa, Peru, he was fascinated by the history of his grandmother's family, the Malagas. They were descendants of Jews from Spain who had converted to Catholicism and settled in the Spanish Viceroyalty of Peru. He has traced his family's roots from the town of Arequipa to the small, isolated village of Yarabamba, where they settled, keeping some of their old Jewish traditions. Eventually, they became an eminent family of intellectuals and people of great relevance in the history of the Republic of Peru. We spoke with Mr. González Manrique about the history of the Jews in Peru, the present-day Jewish community there, and his own family's history. Thank you very much for speaking with us today, Luis. The first thing I would like you to tell our listeners is very briefly the history of the Jews in Peru, because I was very surprised that there was even an old Jewish community in Peru, because Peru is one of the main centers of the Inquisition in America. So could you tell us a little bit about how and when the Jews first arrived in Peru?
Yes. Well, there were no proper Jews. They were already conversos. They were benanusim. That's the word in Hebrew that is used for them. In Hebrew, it means the forced ones, the ones who were forced to abandon their faith. So what there was in Lima and also in Mexico, there were only two viceroyalties in America until the 18th century. The Virreinato de Nueva España, which is Mexico and Central America, and Virreinato del Perú, which was Panama to the south. So Lima was El Callao, was a very important port because all the richness of the empire was in the mines of Peru and Bolivia and Alto Peru. So there were many traders, merchants, who concentrated in Lima. Many of them were so-called Portuguese. Most of them were crypto Jews. They were converted to Catholicism just a generation, two generations ago. So we are talking about the middle of 16th century.
Because I had understood that in Sevilla, which is where they kind of checked people out before they would let them go to America, they were very, very careful about not permitting conversos to go to America. So did most of these people go through Portugal then?
Well, it was forbidden. Only old Christians, cristianos viejos, could travel to the colonies. They were trying to keep the continent safe of impure bloods or people or religions or heretics. So, but it was very easy to do. They called them Portuguese because many of the Jews that originally were expelled went to Portugal. But they came back and forth. It was very frequently. And after the discovery of America, many of them continued to go. I mean, you could bribe some always. It was easy. Because, you know, the biggest process of the Inquisition in Lima was in 1660, almost a century after the discovery. So there was a very huge community because they tried about 30, 40 people. They burned three or four of them. This novel is about a true story. It's Luis Maldonado da Silva.
You're talking about
burned alive in Lima in 1660.
You're talking about Marcos Aguinas's La Gesta del Marrano for our listeners.
Yeah, we have the book here.
Uh-huh. Well, tell us then specifically now a little bit about your own family.
Yeah, you know, my name is Esteban González Manrique, but my father was José González Málaga. My grandfather was from Asturias. He arrived in Buenos Aires in 1907, and he and his brothers opened a chain of libraries from Buenos Aires to Lima. So one of each one of the brothers was in a different city in Bolivia, in Argentina, in Oruro, in Arequipa, in Lima.
And they all had bookstores.
Yes, it was a chain. That's why I'm a journalist, you know, because he sold magazines and books from Buenos Aires, which had a huge editorial industrial in those decades. I'm talking about the 20s. And he stayed in Arequipa, which is a very beautiful city. And he met my grandmother, which was Filomena Málaga. It was of the oldest families in Arequipa. You know, those times it was a very small city, and they were all very criollo, but old families. Los Belaunde, López de Romaña, Los Llosa, you know, Los Málaga. The Málagas was one of these families. And we always knew that we were Sephardim. Every generation transmitted to the next one that we were Sephardim, conversos. But it was something that we said with pride.
That's something that's very surprising to me, because in other places that were so predominantly Catholic, the Sephardim, or people who were, let's say, descendants of conversos, they didn't talk about it, or they didn't tell people about it, because they either were afraid of what the neighbors would say, or it was sort of a stigma in a lot of these strongly Catholic countries. And so I'm kind of surprised.
It was a secret. You know, that's why they're called sometimes the silent Jews or the crypto Jews, because you couldn't say it in public. It was dangerous sometimes. The Inquisition was a very strong institution. It was a tribunal, like a kind of secret police. It was fanatics. The Inquisition was abolished in Peru in 1820. But the museum is quite a terrifying place. There are torture instruments. So it was very hard to hide the fact that you were Jewish or crypto Jew. So what they did, I think they were escaping. They settled in Yarabamba, which is 100 kilometers from Arequipa.
Tell me when that happened.
In the middle of 18th century. We have a book. So in this book, we trace their origin in Yarabamba in the middle of the 18th century. There were only two, three, four families in Yarabamba. It was a very small town. So they were really hiding. And they married between each other, only three or four families. I have endogamics. It was is something. I have many uncles who are Málaga, Bernedo Málaga, or Bernedo. The tradition of intermarriage is quite common in Nuevo Cristiano families.
So did they go to Yarabamba directly, or were they in Arequipa and then they went to Yarabamba?
We don't know. We have the title. But you know what is to trace your origin to the middle of 18th century is extremely rare. That's only that aristocrats do. You know, one of the latest presidents of Peru was from Arequipa, Don Fernando Belaunde Terry. Belaunde could prove that one of the founders of Arequipa on August 1531 was one of his ancestors, you know, a very, very old family. You know, if you're an aristocrat, that's understandable, because you have to give your properties to the next generation. So you trace your genealogical tribe. Why my family keep a genealogical tribe if they were peasants, they were plebeians?
So they went to Yarabamba with this group of Jewish families, basically.
Yeah, I think no more than two or three. I think they were hiding, because we don't know where they came from. They were two brothers, Carlos y Atanasio. So there are two branches, the Carlistas and los Atanasistas. It's impressive history, because my abuela Filomena, my grandmother, knew all the stories of that family from generation to generation. They were already very old family by the 1920s when he married my grandfather. So there was a big inquisition of the Inquisition in 1660. They were concentrated, the new Christians, in Callao, in Lima. But they killed many people. It was one of the biggest in the history of the Spanish Empire in America. And I think they could be, they fled from that, from, they escaped from that process. And maybe, and they were hiding. They, you know how far is Yarabamba even today? In the 16th century, 7th century, Peru is enormous. It is three times the size of Spain. Even now, it's extremely difficult to move around the Andes. So Yarabamba was a very, very remote place. You know, it's like Macondo in 100 Years of Solitude. You know, Macondo is an isolated village. And when I read the first time 100 Years of Solitude, I thought that was the kind of stories that my abuela Filomena used to tell, the story of the families. But they know they were Sephardim. Why?
And when they arrived in Yarabamba, do you know if it was already a town? Or, in other words, did other people live there already?
No, I don't think so. Maybe they founded the place.
Uh-huh.
It's, you know, it's very close to the Santuario de la Virgen de Chapi, which is the patron of Arequipa. He's a most revered virgin. And so Yarabamba is quite close to the sanctuary. The landscape is exactly similar to the desert of Judea. It's the same kind of climate. It's an amazing story.
So when you were growing up and you knew that you were Sephardic and you knew that you were Jewish, even though it was a sort of a family secret, you said.
Yeah.
Did your family have any artifacts, or did they have any Jewish practices? Or, I mean, did you ever say, well, what does that mean if I'm Jewish?
There were legends of the family. That's something that we knew. That's all. But there, if there were rites, it was very, very many, many generations ago. Maybe they lit candles on the Sabbath. Maybe they pray in a different way. But it was so, so long ago. It's a very old story. So we just knew. That's all. And no rites. You know, Judaism is a religion that you have to practice in a community. You can pray with a quorum, right? You need people to celebrate the festivities, all of them. You need people. You need Jewish people. If you're isolated, you can be a Jew. But you know that you're a Jew because it's something you always had, like, it's something you, it's a honor. You know, they were very proud. That's, the Sephardim were always very famous because of their aristocratic ways. You know, their style, they were elegant people, very pretentious people. Everywhere they met, the Sephardim, even Benjamin Disraeli, the prime minister of the Great Britain, when he crowned Queen Victoria, he made her Empress of India, Benjamin Disraeli. There was a family from Medina del Campo. But, you know, he was always such an aristocrat, more aristocratic than the old English families. You know, that was very hard to do.
So when you found out and you knew that you were Jewish, did you know what that meant? Did you know anything about being Jewish?
I mean, we were not Jewish.
Well, all right. I mean,
Sephardim, it's as an ethnic,
okay,
an ethnic thing more than a religious identity. They are different things. But we've always loved Judaic in my house. My father, he was very impressed by the stories of the Malagas. He knew all the secrets of the family. And some of his best friends were Jewish. Pepe Al or Pepe Lurmer in the Jewish community of Lima. But they're all Ashkenazim. The Ashkenazim have been in Peru from 100 years. They came at the turn of the century. But they are recent compared with us. You know, we were the first ones who were there. But, you know, it had already happened 5 centuries. You know, in the United States, if you, how many families in the States can prove that they descend of the pilgrims of the Mayflower? Mm-hmm. Just 6, 7? Very few of them. Very few.
But did you know what Sephardim meant? Did you know what it was?
Yeah, of course. Everyone, you know, the Sephardim were here in the Peninsula Iberica, in Portugal and Spain, for 1,000 years, even before the temple fell in 70, in the Christian era. There were already Jews here. And they were enormously influential in Spain because they were the lawyers, the bankers, the physicians of the court. They were the translators. The Jewish, they were like a naturalist aristocracy. So it's something that has never been lost when you are descended of that people.
Tell us a little bit about the Jewish population in Arequipa now, because you said that they were going to build a synagogue, or they were going to open a synagogue in Arequipa. Can you tell us about who they are?
Yeah, the first, well, you know, the Jewish community in Lima, very powerful, very, well, there is, it's always been small, but they're enormously very eminent people there, journalists, like everywhere, like everywhere. So the first prime minister that Ollanta Humala, Presidente Humala, which is president of Peru right now, was Isaac Goldenberg. They're very important in industry and in banking, in journalism. But they've always been concentrated in Lima. Lima has 10 million inhabitants. The whole country is 25 million. You know, there are 10 million in Lima. So most of the Jews have always lived in Lima. But they are traveling so much to Arequipa because it's a boom town right now. We've been having very good economic times in Peru in the last 20 years. So they have noticed that there was never a synagogue in Arequipa. It's the second city. It's not comprehensible. So they are going to build the first one. And they have invited my uncle, my father's brother, Oscar González Málagas. He's 75. They have invited him to be one of the founding members of the first synagogue in Arequipa, because, you know, they're going to see him in Lima now. They know the story of the Malagas. It's like a fantastic thing to have a family in Peru that can trace their origins to the first colonization. You know, it's like 500 years of solitude. And now it's a honor for my uncle Oscar to be recognized as a Sephardim.
So it's not difficult in Peru for people to say openly that they're Jewish?
No. The religion is a different thing. Right now there are 3,000 Jews in Lima. Most of them arrived in the turn of the century. So I have many of my very good friends are Jews.
But the real question was, in general, in Peru, if someone says, I'm Jewish, there's no problem.
No problem at all.
Because in other countries, there is a problem.
Yes, of course, but not in Latin America. You know, the first thing that the Republic do was to abolish the Inquisition Tribunal. Because it became a kind of police. They jailed Antonio de Nariño in Colombia because he translated the Declaration of Independence of the United States to Spanish. And he translated the Declaración de Derechos Humanos of the French Revolution. That's why they jailed him. They tortured him. Antonio de Nariño, one of the founding fathers of the Republic of Colombia. That's what the Inquisition do.
Well, obviously, the Declaration of Human Rights is a subversive document sometimes.
Exactly. But since then, Jews were always, they were citizens. So my family didn't have problems after we became independent. We became a republic. So the separation of church and state and democracy, many times in theory, but the principles were there. That was our constitution. So the Malagas could claim that they were Sephardim, and it was no problem for them. In the contrary, it was something that they were really felt proud about.
Okay, is there anything else that you would like to add briefly that we might have
left out? Yeah, you know, I think that this story is interesting because it proves the will of survival for very ancient people which are able to cross centuries from generation to generation, having an identity. It's very important because this year we commemorate the first genocide of the 20th century, the Armenian genocide. if there was the Holocaust in the Second World War was because the Armenian genocide was forgotten. So we can't do that again. You know what is happening right now in the Middle East for him. They tried to exterminate the Assyrians, the Christian Iraqis, the Yazidis, which are it's a religion oldest, even older than Judaism. You know, it's a kind of people who have been practicing a religion that is 3,000, 2,000. They tried to exterminate just a few months ago. So it's a real and present danger all the time. So we have to celebrate everything that is an example of the human instinct for survival.
Thank you very much. Well, that's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you. So please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is EnglishCorner@RadioSefarad.com. See you next week.